All right, we have a joint meeting of the select and the standing committees on appropriations. So we will then, shall we start? I just want to make sure if we all have a copy of the agenda in front of us. Do we? If you don't have, could you please indicate by show of hands so that you can be provided with the copy. So we all have. All right. Thank you very much. CC, I would like us to start. And all right. Shall we close our eyes and observe a moment of silence as we invite God to come and guide us? Amen. Well, I'd like to greet the honorable members. I'd also like to greet the delegation from the South African Local Government Association. I'd like to abstain the members of PDO office, the staff members, all stakeholders, and all guests. Yes, National Treasury is present. Thank you very much for coming. And indeed, I want all of you to feel welcome. Now, the approach will be, this is our meeting. Indeed, we had to convert here this morning to receive a briefing from the South African Local Government Association on the 2016 MTBPS. As we all know, the MTBPS policy statement is a very important statement which forms part of South Africa's open and accountable budget process. It empowers Parliament to discuss and shape government's approach to the budget. So this meeting is here for all of us to, you know, to be empowered so that when we, at the end, engage with National Treasury and also compile our report and make recommendations, those recommendations must be sustainable but also must be informed so that we take quality, we make quality recommendations to the House. The brief will assist the committee to robustly engage and assess the risks that can affect the achievement of a sustainable local finances in government. We are aware that allocations to local government support the delivery of free basic services for the poor residents and the provision of infrastructure to eradicate backlogs. So the 2016 community survey confirmed that access to services continues to expand thanks to these grants or grant-funded programs, but significant backlogs remain. So our citizens are in need for real and visible change and want to see an improvement in their quality of life, because this is what we promised them since 1994. It is clear that Parliament will need to fully consider all possible policy options on how best to use the limited resources that we have. Especially at the level of local government. In closing, we know that a stable and sustainable fiscal will support a return to growth rates needed to achieve the development goals contained in the National Development Plan, especially the goals of radically transforming the country. Let's have a robust and fruitful engagement as we work towards developing a transformative local government. Once more, you are welcome. Let's feel free. I'm looking forward to a fruitful engagement. Thank you very much. Shall we then move to the next item, which is apologies?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. From the Standing Committee on Appropriations, we have 5 apologies. One from Mr. Sheikh Imam, who is attending Portfolio Committee on Police. Second one is from Ms. Sloan Kanguini, who is attending to political her political party's business. And we've got one from Mr. Gwangwa. He's an alternate. He's attending the Standing Committee on Finance. We've got an apology from Honourable Manana, who is not well and is seeing a doctor.
All right, from the NCOP, yes, sir?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. From the NCOP, Chairperson, firstly, I would like to explain that due to the fact that the committee, like the Standing Committee, the Select Committee on Appropriations and Select Committee on Finance share membership. So both committees have got meetings today. So we've split the committee. Other members are attending the in the meeting chaired by Honorable Tibia of the Select Committee on Appropriations. Other members are going to be this side. So the Select Committee on Appropriations currently have got 2 members present here. However, there is also a member from the Provincial Legislature, Free State, Honourable Van Royen, who has been delegated by the Chairperson to come and be part of this meeting. Also, on the issue of apologies, we received 2 apologies from the Chairperson of the Committee and also Honourable Isaac. Both members have got prior arrangements. Honorable Mutara will join us any time from now. I spoke with her before we opened the meeting. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the apologies. Do we accept the apologies? Honorable Dr. Madope?
Honorable Chair, we accept the apologies.
Any seconder? Supported. Thank you very much. All right, from Salga, I know we've received an apology, but maybe you can table the apology.
Thank you, Chairperson. Salga has forwarded a formal apology from our Chairperson Park Style for the committee's consideration. And I hope that all the chairpersons have received it in due time. Thank you.
Being this one a little late, but I'm sure this one is also accepted.
Accepted.
Well, Honourable Member Van Royen, you are welcome. And actually, it's interesting. I mean, coming all the way shows your preparedness to be knowledgeable on this the subject matter for the committee or the business of the committee. So by the time you go back, you are so empowered and you are able to drive your committee correctly. All right, thank you so much. Well, we will then proceed to, I think it will be better that we introduce ourselves. Are we in agreement? Yes, starting with me, I am Honorable Member Pinky Possam, the Chairperson of the Standing Committee on Appropriations. Honorable Member Twabasa.
I'm Daba Twabasa, Whip of the Committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Doris Senobanyane. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you, Professor. My name is Benny with myself. Member of this committee.
Morning, Chair. My name is Nokozola Ndongeni, member of the committee.
Morning. Morning. Morning.
My name is Leno Skeller, member of the Select Committee.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Lewin Zumande. I'm informed. I'm in the wrong one, Chair. I'm deployed in the older service, the other meeting, but I am Lewin Zumande. Thank you, Chair.
Did you say you're in the wrong meeting? No, let me tell you something. Here, everybody's welcome. So even here, you fit in very well, and we'll be happy if you can stay here, you know. Looking forward to benefiting from your input. Thank you very much. Let's roll, Honourable Member Dr. Fink.
Morning, my name is Malcolm Fink, a member of the Standing Committee on Appropriations.
Thank you.
Morning, Alan McLaughlin, also a member of the Standing Committee on Appropriations.
McLaughlin, thank you very much.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Niels van Rooyen. I'm Chairperson of Public Accounts and Finance in the Free State Legislature.
Thank you. Honourable Member.
Morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Sheila Colleen Shopek-Sitoli. I'm a member of the committee.
I'm tempted to, all right, let's finish this side and then we move over to the other side. Shall we then have the staff members also introducing themselves, starting from here?
Zander Behali, committee secretary.
Good morning, members. My name is Musa Zami, I represent the committee. Thank you.
One of our researchers, thank you.
Good morning, my room members. My name is Pelelani Shomo, another researcher for this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Pelelani. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, my name is Craig Dodds from Independent Newspapers. Independent Newspapers.
Okay, thank you very much. You're welcome. So, are you sure you want us to skip you there? SAPC is here this morning. Thank you for coming. And then we will then cross over the side. Shall we start with the front row?
Good morning, Chair. I'm Gosnaji September, Program Manager, Municipal Finance in the Provincial Office of SALGA.
Good morning. My name is Simtuet Zengwa. I'm the Executive Director dealing with Municipal Finances at SALGA National Office.
Coming.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Lubabalo Nodata. I'm the Committee Secretary of the Select Committee on Appropriations. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Janine Fandeke. I'm from SALGA's Parliamentary Office.
Morning, Chair. My name is Tim McGill, Flaky, Parliamentary Lives National Treasurer.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Stephen Kenyon. I'm in the Intergovernmental Relations Division in the National Treasury.
Our regards, Mr. Brown. okay, the back row.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Mabula Skadzane, Parliamentary Budget Office.
Parliamentary Budget Office is here. Thank you very much.
Good morning, all of the members. My name is Zenande Futoso. I'm with the PBO.
Thank you very much.
Morning, I'm Lydia Orlandi, also in the PBO.
Thank you, ma'am. Yeah, this thing is blocking me, but don't worry.
Good morning. My name is Yodis Orlandi from the Parliamentary Communication Office.
Thank you, ma'am. Morning, Chairperson. My name is Estelle Dunavold. I'm Committee Secretary for Select Committee on Appropriation.
Thank you. I am Deb Winterbach from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you, sir. Now that we know who is in this house, I want us to relax so that we can give this meeting our best shot, coming up with best recommendations that will take this process that we're busy with forward or to greater heights. Thank you. Shall we then move to the next item, which is briefing by South African Local Government Association? I will hand over. Who is going to do the briefing? Okay. Thanks. We are in your hands. Honourable members, let's listen carefully. And after this, let's engage robustly, you know, with the presentation.
Chair and members, thanks again for affording us the opportunity as the voice of organized local government to come and share with you our views on the medium-term budget, you know, statement. Once again, I want to take the opportunity to apologize for our program leadership for not being able to be here. It's been quite a hectic period for us because since the elections in August, we've been to almost all municipalities inducting, you know, the councillors so that they are better equipped and prepared for their responsibilities. We've also been to all provinces, almost doing provincial conferences, because SAGA is in the process of electing new leaders in all provinces. The past 2 days were in the Eastern Cape. We are left now only with the Free State. And then we will be preparing for our national conference, which is going to be in Johannesburg, starting on the 28th, you know, of November, ending on the 1st of December. We have been having as well international engagement, you know, one being the recent UN Habitat 3 conference on urban development and financing, but also we attended the United Cities and Local Government, you know, conference where our acting chairperson, Councillor Park Dow, was elected as the president of that August, you know, international body. Having said that, Chair, I need to say up front, as it is required constitutionally, that SAGA always participates in processes leading to the presentation of the medium-term budget statement by the Minister. We do participate both at a technical level with our colleagues at Treasury, the Finance and Fiscal Commission, COFTA, and other stakeholders, but also SAGA is always invited to discuss and debate issues with the Minister and MECs, you know, at what is called the budget forum. We did participate in that again, and we did raise, you know, issues of concern to us this year. And needless to say, Chair, that some of the issues we would agree upon, others we wouldn't agree upon, and others would fit, you know, as ongoing matters that require continuous engagement, you know, between ourselves, Treasury, and perhaps other stakeholders. One of the key issues that we are debating in the various provincial conferences, and that would also be one of the themes to be discussed in the national conference, is how do we enhance the revenue collection and generation in local government, but also how do we improve, you know, the systems of financial management and accountability. We do feel that that theme is quite important, particularly at this point when revenues are generally declining, that ours, therefore, should not only just be about getting more money, but also how do we better spend and manage, you know, those revenues. One of the central themes of the budget policy statement was the picture painted by the Minister that the economic situation of the country is not a desirable one, that the GDP projections have been downward, and that therefore there's no sufficient revenue in the kitty or in the fiscal to be deployed to pursue some of the objectives that would want to pursue as the country and as the local government here in particular. Negative economic growth, Chair, without saying, has got a particular bearing on on the income of households. Whereas we do have a situation where some people have just been refusing to pay for services delivered by municipalities, we are now having also a complicated situation where people are just not able to pay for the services that they are getting because there's no much disposable income. We take notice that the policy statement presented does recognize the imperative for urban planning and development, and that some reforms, you know, are being proposed to that effect. And that working with the large cities and the metros in particular, SALGA has got established platforms where we engage around these issues and how we support and capacitate metros in particular as engines of our economy, you know, to be better able to perform. Needless to say, Chair, we welcome as SALGA the views of the rating agencies when they pronounce that some of our metros are rated at an A level, particular Ekurhuleni and others. We have been talking and discussing with the FFC on the model of the current funding arrangement. About 2 months ago, we launched here in Cape Town, Chair and member, what we call a cost of basic services study document. I think we've made that available to Parliament. The document analyzes trends around how services that municipalities perform are funded, but what is the actual cost in reality. We've had discussions with the Treasury to say as we continue to reform the equitable share formula, maybe we need to take notice of what is proposed and thread in that document and see if some of its provisions could be integrated in how the equitable share is crafted. The dire economic outlook of the country requires just as well that the municipalities must also contribute in making sure that they are better managed, but also that they provide a platform for economic growth. And this could be done in a number of ways that we are proposing, such as building denser and more inclusive, you know, settlements and so on. I'll come back to that point a bit later. We noted as well the call, and we support it, by the minister that we should all strive for more efficiency, especially in terms of how we manage the limited resources that we have. And we've made it our position in SALGA that we'll encourage all municipalities to adhere to the cost containment, you know, measures and guidelines that have been proposed by Treasury. Even if what we say out of that arrangement is minimal, but it is worth, you know, pursuing so that we are seen to be more responsive and responsible in terms of how we manage the resources. And in assisting care towards that element, Treasury has launched, you know, a website called Municipal Money. We think it's an important intervention alongside what SALGA has been doing in developing a municipal barometer to measure various indices, because we see this website as being a tool that the communities can use, researchers, individuals, newspapers, to monitor how municipalities spend their resources. If you get to that website, play around it, it will tell you how much your municipality is spending on water, on this and that, how much goes to salaries, and so on. So it therefore creates a better informed public so that the engagement, you know, for friends on IDPs, you know, could be better structured and informed. We think this is very important that we don't only call people to participate in government processes, but that we educate and inform them so that their input adds value. We would, as well as SALGA, advertise, you know, that initiative and encourage municipalities to equally do the same and make sure that people do access and are able to question, you know, how resources are spent. The figures on slide 6 just give a high-level indication of how the minister is proposing that the funds be allocated to the various fields. We have raised previously an issue that the 9% that we are currently getting as this year is certainly not adequate given the challenges that municipalities have to deal with. We do know though that over the next medium-term framework that the allocations to local government will be increasing on a stable rate from the current 9% to 9.2%. And as such, that looking at the figures in isolation from the challenges and what municipalities need to deliver is something that could be problematic. But we do note as well that though the average growth rate of the allocations to local government are 8%, and those being more than any other item, in a slide, still local government still argues that they were setting a new term already on a bare footing, given that the demand for improved services and better services, seem to outpace the level of growth in the equitable share. So, in summarizing that slide, therefore, we note the relative growth to the equitable share over the term, that there's some reduction, especially on the conditional grant, and that the allocations to the CA, local government, would be lower than what we had previously anticipated. So, we do note that they are competing priorities such as the drought case, the education issue, the national health scheme, and others. All those are important, and we're not saying government should not consider and prioritize them, but we're equally making a point that all those prioritizations should not leave this year disempowered and under-resourced, such that we can't perform and implement, what people expect in the form of services. One of the issues that we hardly ever discuss, and it hardly ever comes sharply, and it's a bit of a sensitive one, is the fact that quite a number of our municipalities are in a state of financial health that's not so good. Some of them, they are going concern status is an issue that is bothersome to us. And this is articulated in both Treasurer report, Section 71 report, but also in the audit outcome report that the Auditor General has been presenting from time to time. It was us that besides getting, revenues from fiscal, municipalities are under collecting and under spending on the grant. And that their liabilities on a period by period basis tend to exceed, the revenue streams that go to them. And this is a serious matter that talks to both financial and economic viability of our municipalities. And it is a matter that we need to think about seriously as the country. How do we sustain these municipalities? It's not a good thing, Chair, when you hear that a sheriff has been to some municipality to attach, assets. It's not a good thing to hear that besides ELSCOM and water boards, municipalities owe quite a number of other creditors and they are not in a position to pay because that kills small businesses in particular. It's not a good thing to know that most of our municipalities are in a poor financial position and therefore cannot sustain themselves, and they entirely depend on the transfers from national. Because that uncertainty surely doesn't augur well for business and how CCA operates. One of the items that has raised previously is the fact that municipalities are owed currently about 117 billion and it keeps going up. It's an issue that we feel as organized local government needs to be vetted and dealt with aggressively. It could be that some of the debt is no longer collectible. Some of them have long prescribed. Some of the debt is just made up of interest compounded. And unless and until we take a firm decision between ourselves, treasurer, and cock down this matter, it will continue bedeviling, you know, municipal, you know, accounting records. One of those who own municipalities are government departments. We did report previously to the committee that we had undertaken a joint exercise between ourselves, SELGA, and the Department of Public Works to go around the country visiting municipalities that are owned by government to verify their records, make sure that all parties agree on what is owed, and that that amount, you know, is paid accordingly. And up to this point, only 1.2 billion has been paid to various municipalities across the country. And the intention has been to close and finalize this project by this coming December. However, we do acknowledge that there's been some challenges, because there are instances where the documents have been verified and agreed upon by both parties, but where Public Works has been reporting that they don't have money in the kitty to be able to pay, you know, and what is still outstanding is 2.9 billion. And we do think that could go a long way in assisting municipalities in some of their challenges. We do equally need to find a radical approach to dealing with the household debt and those owed by business to municipalities. We can't hold our arms and, you know, see this debt growing year on year, quarter on quarter. We need to find a collective solution between ourselves and treasurer and other, you know, players in the sector to attend to this item. I've said that the report on the main financial census, you know, of municipalities by FSA seems to indicate quite a number of interesting developments. One of those being the average, you know, 2% growth rate of households year on year. And that the cost pressures on bulk purchases, water, electricity in particular, seem to be consistently above inflation. These definitely create a problem for municipalities. And that what is currently provided for, you know, in the budget will not adequately address those pressures. So we do therefore need to work with treasury to ensure that, you know, the equitable share formula is adjusted from time to time to take cognizance of these growth patterns and other dynamics indicated in the community survey from FSA. Now, talking about conjugal grants. This is one particular area that has been of interest to the sector, that it relates to not just how municipalities spend the grants, but also it talks to their ability to plan and the capacity by those who work in the sphere to assist and support municipalities in ensuring that whatever they get in the form of grants is spent and accounted for accordingly. The current mini-budget proposals, you know, indicate that there will be a 5% increase overall on the grant, you know, over the medium term. So we do hope that that growth, though it's under inflation, you know, would at least alleviate some of the pressure. And the grants that are likely to be impacted upon, you know, would be the infrastructure grant, the urban settlement development grant, the water service infrastructure grant, and the public transport network grant. And some of other reductions in the grant system, you know, relate to the RD and others. So all these taken together, you know, the net effect is that there will be a decrease in the grant overall, and that we need to deal with that reality. boost up the capacity of municipalities to plan and execute infrastructure projects on the one hand, and making sure that the allocation for grants are well spent, because that seems to be the area that has been consistently, you know, reducing over the past couple of years. The exercise that we've been undertaking jointly with the Treasurer to review grants has taken us at least to some advanced position. We have agreed on a number of the reforms that are necessary. For instance, the refining of the rules in terms of how the grants should be used for refurbishment. The inclusion of performance incentives for the cities. The exploration of new dispensation for secondary cities that provide greater flexibility for them to promote integrated urban development and their capital investment. And that there could be some shift from the integrated national electrification program, you know, grant fund to the urban sustainable development grant, you know, in the metros that have been, you know, allocated as responsibility. So that both, you know, human settlements, related services and electricity are funded under one, you know, grant scheme. The concerns that we still have, though, especially about the USDG, and we've raised this with our colleagues at Treasurer, is that some of the conditions, some that seem to be cropping up in other platforms like MINMEX, are not consistent with what is in the Division of Revenue, you know, beam. For instance, there's been a move and a pressure to treat the USDG as if it's purely a human settlement, you know, grant. It can't, you know, provide for services, for infrastructure, and so on. And our problem with that is that it then changes the nature of the grant from being a Schedule 4 into a Schedule 5, you know, grant arrangement. And we said we'll continue engaging with the MSCs at MINMEX, but also we have a firm view between ourselves and the various ministries. And as I've said, we've raised our issue with Treasurer, and we're hoping that in that matter could be jointly resolved as we move forward. Because one grant that we seem to have an issue. Now, as we move forward generally, we will continue, you know, supporting and monitoring what's happening in the CA in SALGA, providing support, speaking on behalf of all local governments, lobbying for their interests, and so on. We noted a report that was published some time ago by Treasurer that said 6 months before the election and up to 18 months after the election, there tends to be great instability in local government. You might have noticed the number of positions being advertised for municipal managers, for CFOs, and so on. So that degree of turnover during this period is of concern to us, and we've been urging municipalities to quickly fill those positions with capable and well-qualified, you know, individuals or candidates. So now that we've done training, you know, for all or induction, rather, for all, you know, councillors, the next step in our program is to do portfolio-specific, you know, training, so that those councillors dealing with finance are trained more in detail on finance matters. Those that deal with community services or other infrastructure portfolios are trained in those portfolios more in detail, so that they can better exercise their oversight work, but also are better able to guide their municipalities in fulfilling their service delivery mandate. The one item in concluding, Chair, that we want to flag and which the committee to take note of is the new regulation that is coming into effect on the 1st of July next year, which is the Municipal Standard Chart of Accounts reform. We were very concerned as SALGA about this initiative. We do acknowledge that there's been pilot, you know, and there's some positivity coming out of this system, but generally and overwhelmingly, we are of the view that most municipalities are not ready for that reform, and they will be found seriously wanting come, you know, 1st of July. And because of that, we have a serious bearing on municipal audit results. And we have requested a session with Treasury via the Office of the DG, you know, to meet and discuss, you know, this situation. some provinces seem to be better ready than others. So it's quite an issue, you know, for us, whether we should have a blanket, you know, introduction, you know, of the reform, or we need to categorize these parties based on their state of readiness, like it was done with the MFMA, and take it forward accordingly. We will again, as we had done previously, you know, again monitor and support municipalities, you know, based on our municipal audit support program, which has four pillars being financial management, leadership, governance, and institutional capability. That program seems to have yielded, you know, good results, Chair, if you notice the continuing improvement in audit outcomes over the past, you know, 3 years. And we hope that we can either, you know, improve or at least not regress. Because the last example of after the elections in 2010, 2011, financial year, there was a huge regress in terms of audit outcomes. It's just right thereafter in improved. So we'll continue again monitoring, you know, around those issues and make sure that there's stability in the sector. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you so much for the presentation. Honorable members, I will now invite you to reflect on this presentation and then engage or interrogate the presentation. Over to the honorable members. Honorable member, you are number one. You are number two, number three, number four, number five. In that order, for six, Mr. McLaughlin. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. The municipality expenditure pattern of all municipalities are reflected, even the rural municipalities are reflected in that pattern. The second one is the liabilities that exceed the assets. What would you suggest can be done to turn that around? Because of the current grant system, my personal view is that you won't be able to turn that around with the small municipalities. And part of the revenue collection that I personally feel that municipalities are failing in is the traffic fines. Issue of traffic tickets and issue of traffic fines. A lot of revenue that can be collected on it, especially with the smaller municipalities. What is your take on that? Then the last one is the money owed to municipalities, which according to your report should be finalized by December. Is that really going to happen? Because this has been happening for over years now. And we always need to go strictly square the whole social network. Can we say next year this time, if we are around, will that be resolved? Because all this is a matter of shifting whole goals to the money owed to municipalities. Thank you.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks to the presenter also in understanding the challenges that is faced by our country regarding the challenge around the economic growth. I think it calls for all of us to tighten our system. We have to learn to do more with them, and also prevent wastage and implement cost containment measures. I'm glad that you are saying it's where you are going to encourage the municipalities to focus around the issue of cost containment measures. because as the people that is following the money, appropriation, we follow the money, we find that there is a wastage, we found that there is under expenditure, we found that some of the municipalities are failing to collect the revenue. I understand what you indicated on the report to say that because of the economic downfall, it will be difficult even to collect. But the challenge that one wants to gather from you is that as the representative of the municipality, does the municipality have a credit control policy so that they are in a position to collect? As you are correctly indicating that what has been, what you have get through the equitable share is really not met with the demand of the community around the issue of need. But how many municipalities are having credit control policy? Because you find that some of them indicate on your report to say that when you go out to try and collect, you find that there is a disagreement around the issue of the statement, the invoice that is being given to the resident, and so forth. But what do you do to assist the municipality to have the credit control policy so that during this difficult time, whatever we can collect, because your team is inspiring revenue, when you inspire, you must have also the control around that particular revenue that you are collecting. The problem is that this presentation is the pages are not right. I want to check, you have indicated that there is a municipal money website, and you are saying that you will it's a tool for the residents or for the community to be in a position to access how the municipalities are working and spending their finances and so on, or the scarce resources that are there. When did you really create this website? And when are you intending to advertise? Because you are saying SALFA is going to advertise it. It's something like it's not yet known. When are you intending to advertise this one? Because it will be important for the residents to know this thing. Chair, you'll pardon me. The page is... Okay. Here also, there is a hope, although you are indicating that, you know, the revenue or the resources are scarce, but there is a hope if you look at the medium-term expenditure framework around the issue of the allocation, because you have pointed out on slide number 7 that 2017-2018, you know, there is a low, it's lowering, you know, the resources, but in the outer medium-term expenditure framework, yes, it will increase. I think what is important for all of us, we must try and use the resources the way that will be accepted out there in the communities. Also, you have indicated that your concern is the spending by the municipalities. They are spending more than the resources that they currently have, which led to a deficit at some stage and create a liabilities and so on. But I want to check what are the consequences for those people that are spending, because the Public Finance Management Act is clear when you look at section 38 to 41 to say that to spend what you don't have is not allowed. It's a criminal. But we have the consequences in local government to say that if this is happening, because this is the challenge that caused that even in the next budget, you know, you still having the challenge of the deficit and so on, that was created illegally by the people that are not complying with the pieces of legislation. What are the consequences that those people that are spending what they don't have, you have in place? Also, you have indicated that in 2014-15, on slide number 8, material uncertainty with regards to the ability to continue operating for some of the municipalities. How many of those municipalities that are really in deep challenges around the issue of the finances? And also, when you look at the grants that the government is giving to the municipalities, we want to raise the fundamental issue to say that in the cities, they are better off than the people that are in the deep rural areas around the issue of the collection of revenue. And then when I promise to say that now these grants are going to assist to be boosting more in deep rural areas where people are unable to collect the revenue, I want to check in your comment, will you say that revenue is trying to balance out the rural municipalities around the issue of the resources if it's being distributed, as well as the equitable share? I'm glad to say that you say also the revision of the formula, it needs to be looked at now and again, because when we're raising it, it was said that the formula will be now biased towards those two municipalities. And also your concern around the grant that we are saying now, it has been changed from Schedule 4 to Schedule 5. Which really constrains the municipality. Don't you think that maybe the change of the grant from Schedule 4 to 5 is not the fact that you find that some of the grants are being used where they are not supposed to be designated to be used? Maybe you. At the moment, Chair, I will stop there because I'm being disadvantaged by this presentation today, that it goes like this. It's not straight for us to read straightforward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Over to Honourable Member Feed.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. There are a few concerns that I would like to raise here, but clearly it. Serious attention needs to be given to the municipalities. I think they're getting away with murder here. They are doing a lot of things that they are not supposed to be doing. And I would just like you to comment on what SAUSA's role in this is and how they could ensure that the situation improves. Because clearly when you have municipalities that are overspending, I mean, it's simple. If you haven't got the money, then why spend the money? You know what your allocation is. You have asked for a more allocation, or more funds to be allocated, but if it doesn't come, then surely the municipality can't just go in and spend and hope that they are bailed out, because in the audit outcome it's indicated that there's a material uncertainty of the municipalities to continue as a going concern. That is a fundamental problem. So something needs to be done. They need to be guided. They need to be pulled back, reined back, because otherwise it's going to contribute to the economy or to the detriment of our economy. Chairperson, just a few issues on the slides, on the presentation as well. Slide number 3, you talk about, in your introduction, you spoke about we're thinking about how to improve financial management. We're thinking about how to improve revenue collection. Now, I cannot believe it that we're thinking about this thing now. That is basic financial management. You're supposed to have measures in place that when you provide services, you need to recoup the cost of those services. And if you don't do that, then you're going to fail. So why that is the situation, it's unacceptable. You speak about This for revenue collection, and can we get an indication, what is the rate of revenue collection in the municipalities across the board? And in addition to that, I know this might be a difficult one, but where are the municipalities, which municipalities are the ones that are failing, that are most, the ones that are causing the most, the highest rate of revenue collection? Now, in most municipalities, there's a problem that is avoidable. Electricity is being stolen. So we do understand that the funds that are charged for electricity is not being collected. But over and above that, there's more electricity provided than is being invoiced, because you go to all the provinces and you see the same old story where you have these lines over the roads where electricity is stolen. And very little has been done about that. Similarly, we have a big problem, and the president tried to address it, with our water leaks. And a lot of water is going wasted. And who's losing out on income, on revenue, are the municipalities. So those are areas that we need to also ensure that it's correct. So those are a few issues that I have with regard to that. On slide number 8, okay. Slide number 8 is the one that deals with the audit outcomes, and it's unacceptable that this has been ongoing for a number of years, that we have a situation where it's stated that the financial health of 92% of municipalities is rated as either concerning or requiring intervention. Okay, that is a report by the Auditor General. What action has been taken to remedy the situation? Because next year we're going to have a 91%, and then I know the report is going to be that there's been an improvement in the situation. So we seriously need to look at that, because it's contributing to the downfall of our economy. As we know, our economy is growing at closer. I see you state here less than 1%. Actually, it's closer to 0%. That is the situation that we find ourselves in. When the presentation was made, Chair, you indicated that we are thinking about this situation. Now, why think about it? Surely you must have policy, there must be legislation. And as my colleague said here, there's legislation, there's a PFMA, there's an MFMA. Why are the perpetrators not being prosecuted? They report, and next year they come back and they say, there's a slight improvement. We've gone from red to orange, and that's what's happening. So I think we need to take the matter seriously and to ensure that there's an improvement. On slide number 9, on the chairperson, I see there's an interesting statement. The fourth bullet point indicates that the debt is expected to be paid off by the 31st of December. So what gives you that expectation? That has somebody indicated to you that we will pay by a certain date, or is it the trend? How do we arrive at a statement like that? Surely, that's poor financial management. And then lastly, Honourable Chairperson, on slide number 13, there is a concern. I'm concerned that you are concerned that whenever there's elections, that there is a problem with the appointment of new officials. Now, there shouldn't be appointment of new officials, because they have contracts. If they're competent enough, then surely they should not be reappointed. Because as much as some of them might have 5-year contracts, but my understanding is that I'm not going to reappoint somebody or look for somebody to replace an individual who is doing his job. So that is a serious concern. So I don't know why that is the issue. The other issue that was raised in that presentation is that this implementation of this Standard Chartered of Accounts, again, that goes to your confidence. I mean, if somebody is in the position that you said it will be implemented next year, then surely all that is needed is a little bit of chairperson, just a little bit of training. I mean, what is a Standard Chartered of Accounts? Where people attach a number to a different, to an expenditure item. why is the implementation of that such an issue? Clearly, it can only be an issue if nobody understands what they need, what they're supposed to be doing. So I just have a serious issue with being concerned. I mean, we can't operate a country in 5 years since, in 5 year better. Surely we have to have long-term planning. We can't plan every 5 years. I can't believe that in municipalities that every 5 years you have to look at reappointing officials. Then you're going to have a serious problem. So I just have an issue there with that concern of yours. And lastly, Honourable Chairperson, with regards to the same issue with the standard charter of accounts, these provinces, you indicated that some provinces are more ready than the others. But can we get an indication of those provinces that are ready? Which are those provinces that are ready? Thanks, Honourable Chairperson.
Well, Dr. Peek, I will now call upon Honourable Member Panduaya. Okay, sorry, Honourable Member Panduaya. Correct. It is Honourable Member Mukwanyan and then yourself.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Thanks for the presentation. I think that my colleagues, I would like to tell a few things. First, maybe in South, I would like to be sure as an umbrella body that represents Councillor.
If I may interrupt you, could you please speak?
I think it's that thing is worse. I was just saying that as an umbrella body representing councillors. Now I was just listening and thinking about particularly this issue of revenue collection, which I think has been touched. We know, I think many of us, or most of us, know about the challenges in terms of like division of revenue. You know, the allocation to municipalities has always been a bone of contention throughout. And perhaps this low allocation is maybe in terms of the fact that the municipalities are expected to collect revenue, own revenue. But we also know it's a fact that revenue collection is a big challenge throughout the country, if I can say that. And that being the case, then it becomes a serious challenge. Hence, I was saying that I don't want to be in your shoes. And we also need to acknowledge that SARCA is not the implementing agent. You are not implementers, but you have a responsibility to exercise oversight over the municipalities, because I think that's where our challenges are. Now, in terms of that, I just would like to find out, in terms of this non-payment, you know, over many, many years, we've known that government and some big business do not pay for their services. So I would like to find out if you've got maybe any mechanism that you're using, or maybe in terms of government. Because for me, those two categories, it's criminal for them not to pay services, because they can pay services if they want to. Sometimes people just ignore. Before I just get people who are unable to pay, those are the people that personally I think need to be targeted on a serious manner. And just to find out if there are any initiatives by departments to do something about their non-payment. I know it won't be the same in all municipalities, but honestly, I think that we've been singing the song of government not paying, big business not paying, then coming to the ordinary people. You've correctly said that there's poor payment, but also with the current economic situation, we have an additional challenge of people being unable. But there is also an element of culture of non-payment. So I don't know if you've got any answers or any mechanisms that you have in mind or that you are implementing to try and really owing that amount of funds, those billions that you mentioned, is just unacceptable. But it's a reality that we have to deal with. Therefore, I would like to just check the level of oversight that is carried out by councillors. I was saying that I would like to find out about the level of oversight carried out by councillors.
knowing also the fact that councillors in some municipalities do not really get the necessary support to carry out their responsibilities. I know I've also served in not all FOCA, so I know that the challenges that the MPEG face in municipalities, they aren't able to carry out their responsibilities. So just to find out what challenges to get in terms of, because if you can't exercise your oversight, then we are fighting a losing battle. Because the people that are supposed to implement need to account to the politicians to say this is how they're going to do things. Because we'll continue talking about these things but not getting anywhere. And then in terms of the municipal money website that you mentioned, I would like to find out how accessible is this website to the ordinary people. What is the level of utilization of this website? Because you may find that some people fall by the wayside, people who don't have access to this type of thing. So maybe you have other ways of making sure that they also participate, because the idea is to allow them to participate in the budget processes of municipalities. Okay, the other thing that I just said here was the issue of conditional grants. What is the level of really spending of expenditure on these conditional grants? Are these municipalities able to spend these conditional grants? Because, I mean, in the past, like, I don't expect now, but I know that sometimes there's a challenge of you've got challenges that need funding, but when the funds are there, sometimes they're not adequately utilized. So just to get a sense of that. And then in terms of the, you know, you mentioned the fact that you are planning to implement M scores from July next year, and you mentioned that some ministers are not yet ready. What exactly is it? Is it capacity in terms of human resources? What is it that they really need, which makes them not to be ready to implement? Because I imagine that this would be a very important thing. I also know that with the MPEG, it was a big, big issue. It was difficult for them. They have experienced many difficulties, but now they are up and, I'm not sure if they're 100%, but at least they're up and running, and I think MPEG are functioning now. The budget forum, the last thing, the budget forum, you're participating and you've raised important things. Do you find that when you sit in this budget forum, you are really able to influence processes within? Because I think it's a very important initiative that you are part of these processes, because that is where some decisions are made. I think I will end there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Member Mukwanyana. I will now call upon Honorable Member Fadwaya.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I have five issues which I want to raise. Let me start off first by the first issue is this cost study that has been done in conjunction with FFC and SAGA. I think it's a very interesting research, but unfortunately, you know, as provinces, we don't have access to that research. In the Free State, as Finance Committee, we also conducted the research through the University of the Free State and also our researchers in the legislature to do a research on the impact of the equitable share on small rural towns. The Free State is by nature a rural province. And the findings of that research is very interesting, and I would think that SAGA would also find it interesting, and I think we must make an opportunity where the Free State University and the researchers make a presentation to SAGA and FFC, and possibly also to the committees of National Parliament, because there's some very interesting findings in terms of the impact of the equitable share on these small rural towns. We focus on the Garib district in the Free State, which is one of the poorest districts, I think, in the country. I think I'll, take this up through the chairpersons of the committees, but I think Saga should actually have an interest in that too. Chairperson, the second one is this municipal money website. Also a very interesting development, but my question on that is on the credibility of the information that will be in that on that website. Normally you find that there's some problems with the credibility of information. What assurance is Saga giving, is going to give to make sure that the information is credible? The second issue there, who's going to be able to access it? Because normally there's passwords and things like that. Will it be open for communities, or will it be easy for communities to access it, and also researchers? Because I think it's a very a good initiative, but if it's only accessible by certain people, then it's not going to serve any purpose. The issue, Chairperson, on the payments, the debt payments. We had an interesting situation in the Free State. The Auditor General on Monday presented to the Free State Premier and his executive the audit outcomes of the provincial departments. And one of the issues that came up there is that owned by the provincial government to municipalities. And there is an issue that came up, is that debt, does it fall within the definition of the 30-day payment that the president has announced in the State of the Nation address? If that is the case, then I think it puts pressure on the provincial governments to do it. But I think it's an issue that Saga needs to take up on what is the definition of that debt. Does it fall within the 30 days payment category? Of course, in our case, the provincial Department of Public Works was penalized for that, for not paying within 30 days. And I think it needs to be a standard issue and not, just in one province. So it's an issue that I think that Saga can take up and lobby for. The fourth item, Chairperson, is this thing of the grants. I'm concerned in the report they say that there is a small reduction in grants. But if you look at the division of revenue that was tabled by the minister a week ago, in the Free State, for instance, there was a huge reduction in the grant on water and sanitation, especially in the small rural towns, which it might be in the bigger picture a small reduction. But for a small town like Bukaka, Harip and these places, it is huge amounts. And I find it a bit disturbing that, like I just say, blanketly it is a small reduction. Because in light of the drought that we have at the moment, which Free State is suffering, and we have a reduction in the water and sanitation grants, I think that needs to be looked at. And also not just on the grant situation, but these grants create jobs in these small rural towns. Not long term, but short term, while these projects are going on. So it's just some sort of job creation. And I find it a bit worrying some that Saga just think it's small. And in general, but the impact of these reductions are very huge on these small rural towns, especially in the Free State. The Chairperson, the last issue, in terms of the division of revenue. As provinces, we are also, in terms of the constitution, have to have public hearings and provide our delegates in the NGOP with negotiating mandates, final mandates, and a voting mandate. Now, what happens constantly in the Free State is when we have a public hearing, we invite FELCA, provincial FELCA, to come and make a presentation to the finance committee. But every time they present the national situation, which is fine, there is nothing wrong with it. But I would thought that when FELCA presents, they present on the local issues, on the provincial issues. And that hasn't happened. So my appeal is to Sangha is, although they have the national presentation that they make, but they also need to break it down into provinces. So when the public hearing is conducted in the provinces, then they pick up on the local issues. For instance, this one of the reduction in the water and sanitation grant. For instance, the issue on the cost. Because the cost to build a school or a library in Sasselburg cannot be the same as building one in Koffiefontein. There must be a difference in that. And those are the issues that I think on a local provincial level that Saga really needs to look at. I think on that I'll stop there. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Many of the issues I would have covered have been covered by my colleagues, so I don't speak for so long today. Thank you, Saga. Saga, I don't take this personally, please, but I have a problem with you guys. I have sat on many Saga forums in my life. I've been part of Saga. And with all due respect, your main concern always seems to be how can we get more money from councillors, how can we get better benefits from councillors at the municipality's expense. At the same time, you demand huge levies from municipalities for your existence. And I want to know from you, can you just try and convince me, convince this group, what influence do you actually wield in municipalities? Do you have any real say in what goes on in municipalities, and if so, how do you exercise that influence? Because I've never seen it. I've seen grandiose meetings, huge wastages of money over long periods of time with not much result. And as I say, with all due respect, and it's nothing personal, I have a concern about that, because in times like this, in at the moment, where obviously costs are rising, and municipalities are under huge pressure to perform. If Salva comes along and says, well, we're raising our levies now, how is that assisting this case? Are Salva looking to reduce the amount they want from municipalities, and if not, why not? If I can then turn to a couple of the slides. Slide number two, the second bullet point, you speak of the household debt will fell to 386% of disposable income. Can you just explain that to us? It fell from 391% a year to 386% of disposable income. I don't quite follow what you're saying. How can you have almost four times the amount of disposable income when it fills a little? It doesn't seem to make sense to me. I'm not quite sure what you're saying. That's just my lack of understanding here, but I'd like you just to explain it to me. I don't follow what you're saying to us. How can it be more than 100% of your disposable income? Enlighten me on that one, please. On slide number four, I'm pleased to see that you say municipalities must work to ensure they provide an enabling platform for growth, building dense point uses and productive settlements, making doing business easier and more efficient. Is there a serious plan on foot? Does Salga have a plan or a suggestion or something about reducing red tape across the board in municipalities? Because it costs a lot of money, and it takes a lot of time and makes business more difficult to do. So if you can save some money and save some time, you encourage business and you encourage the economy to get going. Do you have any real plans in this regard? I'd like to hear about them if you do. The statement where you say further down in the same slide, Tower indicates members of the state to adhere to the cost containment guidelines issued in the MFLA circulars, and that scares me a bit of the implications that they're not staying in those guidelines. In other words, they're just being ignored. And I know there are provisions, how you can get around them, you have to have certain people who sign off on it and give the approval. But surely the idea here is to save money. Is any money actually being saved? And are there any consequences that you can suggest that should be imposed for people who don't comply with these things? Because they just sort of like stop signs these days. They're good suggestions, but not everybody bothers with them. Slide 8, I know some of my colleagues have referred to slide 8 already, the audit outcomes. This paragraph that you quote here is bad news. Some time ago I remember there was quite a lot of encouragement for municipalities to increase their debt levels in order to fund themselves. Now, I'm on record as saying that municipalities should receive more money out of the national fiscal. They should get a greater share of the pie. Because municipalities sit at the coal front, they expect for all these things to provide all the services, and they don't get a lot of support in general. And then when things go wrong, then they get blamed, and everybody shouts at them. And now, national government comes along and says, well, just increase your debt level, don't borrow a bit more and solve your problems that way. Obviously, this is not going to help, because ultimately it's just a downward spiral, and as you say, you end up with municipalities spending more than they have, and you know what the results of that is. The problem, as I see it, is that municipalities are expected by their very nature to be able to fund themselves. Many metros are able to do that, but the smaller municipalities obviously can't. They don't have the same market that the bigger municipalities have. If they're successfully run, they can actually operate. They generate money. But the big failure is they don't collect their revenue. There's been a question of controls and things like this. But we have a legal system. And part of our legal system is the debt collection process. And municipalities just don't seem to use it. And I wonder why that is. I never really understand it, because there are those who cannot pay. That's a different scenario. They can apply for indigency, they can do all sorts of things. But most of the time, we sit with municipalities who are continuing to provide services to those who either don't wish to or just don't bother to pay. I've come across situations where I've applied to a municipality for a care certificate for a transfer, and I come back and the person owes the municipality 168,000 rand. How could this possibly have happened? How did you get to that stage? You've been supplying water and electricity to somebody who doesn't bother to pay. You don't bother to cut them off. You don't bother to take any action. You just let it ride. We have to stop this kind of thing, because that's why municipality is so much trouble. Apart from the fact that intergovernmentally they owe each other a lot of money, and the state owes the provinces owe the local government. But these things are all within their direct control, why aren't these being addressed? And the result of this kind of failure means you've got to go and borrow money to pay for things that you should actually have the money for already, because it's money that's owed to you that you haven't done anything about. Municipal Finance Management Act requires municipalities to collect the money that's owed to them. It's not optional, it's an obligation you have as a municipality to collect the money. Somebody should be prosecuted for failing to do it, in my opinion. My colleague mentioned the debt should be paid off by 31 December. I just wanted to know that difference there, the 2.7 million. What age is that debt? How old is that particular debt? And is it increasing? Is it something that's growing all the time? Because if this particular amount is expected to be paid off by 31 December, what would be the outstanding amount of that debt? Will there be new debt that's now arisen to replace the old debt? Then you say in the fifth bullet point on slide 9, parallel processes are undertaken to address disputed properties. 55,000 properties are unresolved. Who initiates this? Is this something that comes from the municipality, or does it come from the owner or purported owner of the property who's saying that I own the property, or was he saying I don't own the property, therefore I don't owe the money? What is the process here? Can you give us a little more? Why is this being conducted so with the Department of Land Affairs and the Deeds Office and things like that? Surely they have records of who the owners are. And it just sounds strange to me that there's unregistered properties, unsurveyed properties. And something we're falling through the gaps here somewhere because something's not captured. It shouldn't be the case, I know, but just if you can just unpack that a little bit for me, because I wasn't quite sure why this has become a problem at municipal level, and what actually is the problem. Sorry, Chair, I had a little concern on slide 12, on the statement about the attempted treaties granted solely for ages undermines the discretion of municipalities and arbitrarily changes the starting for Schedule 5 instead of the Schedule 4 grant. The concern I have is that a lot of the time municipalities wait for their infrastructure grants to come and then they use them to pay the debts with. They pay salaries, they pay all sorts of things other than what they should actually be spending it on. What you're saying here seems to imply that municipalities should be allowed to do that. It should be at their discretion, unless I'm misunderstanding what you're saying. And that's worrying to me. Surely grant funding should be ring-fenced and it should be applied to exactly what it's for. And if you have, I know you're in a situation where the money comes in and you've got debts you've got to cover, you need to spend it. The Eskom bill arrives for 50 million, you need to cover it. If you don't pay it, nobody in your municipality gets electricity. And if your grant funding arrives at the same time, it's very tempting to use that to pay Eskom and keep things running. But obviously that's not ideal. You say there's on slide 13, portfolio-based training and committee training is planned. That's that council in the oversight roles. Elections are on the 3rd of August, and this says is planned. Surely by now some of the training should have taken place. Surely there's something in the pipeline. How far have you got with this training? And is there still more training in the pipeline? And is it being conducted by itself, or do you just facilitate the process? Maybe you can just unpack that a little bit for me. And also say, who funds that? Where did that come from? It's always this training doesn't come from nothing. Does each municipality pay for its own? Or does SALGA fund it somehow? Or is it funded through COGTA? And that's all I have for now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Member McLaughlin. I will now call upon Honourable Member Kabasa to be followed by Honourable Member Shobri Stoli and the Honourable Member Imale. Over to you, Honourable Member Kabasa.
I want to start by saying that I assume that Valga supports the MCEP as it stands now, although there are maybe one or two concerns about the drop of their share, or their equitable share to, in some instances, in some of the years during the MCEP. So I just want to make that point because that's what we are about here as we do the consultation. Please proceed. And appreciate the input that Salga has just presented to us this morning. Chair, on slide 4, which also will link up with slide 8 and some points. You are talking about the ease of doing business. I would be interested to know what SALGA proposes should be
the municipalities should do to achieve this purpose of the ease to do business, especially for the emerging enterprises in the form of SMMEs and cooperatives, but equally for existing big business. I recall that at some point during an unfortunate incident of attacks on the foreign nationals, a call was made that municipalities should revisit their bylaws in a manner that facilitates the ease of doing business also for the local, so that you don't have this confrontational attitude because of the fight over business space, particularly in the towns and cities. So I was referring to part of that ease of doing business is revisit to the bylaws and so on, and how soon is such a conversation likely to happen, and of course the amendments to the bylaws and other things of course. But I raised this subject as well because it will contribute to as I said, local economic development, so that municipalities are able to widen their revenue base. But so long as there is no economic activity that can be accounted for, registered and accounted for, within the municipality, it's going to be very difficult to increase the revenue base. It has already been difficult. But also, the poor connection problem has been there for some time. And one wonders, because I'm told there is modern technology which is able to turn itself off if I'm not paying for my water and electricity, much like we pay as you go. Of course, we know that there is an indigent policy that could be taken care of, but still, if we install this kind of new technology, then we would be solving a lot of this poor connection. You wouldn't have to use the law to collect debt from individual households, etc., and so on, and business. But yeah, that escalates the problem when you talk about the illegal collections. I know that this is the matter that cannot be resolved by municipalities alone. Other owners of energy, ESCOM being one, should get involved in decisively doing away with illegal collections, whether it is in the informal settlement or in many of the shops, businesses that are operating in the towns and big cities, saloons and other types of businesses that are not paying any revenue to the municipalities for the use of water, electricity, and refuse collection, etc. So these are some of the things that need to be really attended to quite urgently. And we don't get the sense that the agency of nipping this problem in the bud, and we will continue to complain about it again and again.
whether we are meeting with a co-opter, we're meeting Balka, we're meeting with municipalities, we get the same story all over again and again and again. But there does not seem to be the energy to address this problem. And I'm saying maybe we must give ourselves time frames and say this has got to stop. On slide 9, the 55,000 properties that you're saying are disputed properties, one would like to understand whether this dispute is between the municipalities and national departments, probably public works, or is it between municipalities and private owners, or both? And linked to that, of course, is one would understand the extent to which municipalities are also losing revenue in the form of rent, in the form of other services that you might be, that municipalities might be rendering, and how much of revenue is being lost in the problem. The instability following the local government election that you reported here, it would be helpful to know whether your contracted official the contract of contracted officials are hem-bound or are contract-bound in the sense that the contract is renewable depending on the performance of that official, so that you don't have this high turnover resulting in stability. I know that in public service, for instance, officials can serve many years, 20, 30 years. But if every 5 years we have local government elections and there is a sudden exodus of officials, it's a problem. You need to check on the type of contracts that you have and have stabilized. So explain to us the type of contract you have. 5 years renewable and then term bound. You can't go beyond 2 terms. And so on and so on. If that is the case, there wouldn't be such a problem, such instability might not necessarily be there. The overcrowding the rented buildings of flats in the houses, where if I'm the original occupant, then I have all my friends here call them so that they can squat together in this two bedroom, if I pay to the landlord 5,000 rand, I collect 5,000 rand from each one of them. But I take their 5,000 rand to be my own, and I pay the landlord his or her 5,000 rand. That's what is going on in the town and city. And that. As a result, these properties are run down. Water and electricity infrastructure also is overburdened and damaged. And of course, the health hazard arising from that, filth being one of it. and the attendant criminal activities that go on there. And then linked to that, the free water, free electricity, free refuse collection, etc. And this defeats the whole purpose of the urban renewal program. So, I think these are some of the issues that we need to look at. Perhaps, and I want to suggest that some of these issues need a conversation between Banka and the Fanti, Hokta, and in some instances, law enforcement agents. And some of the problems are not going to be solved overnight. But I'm suggesting that these are some of the methods we can use to begin to clean up and strengthen urban renewal and keep the standards, health standards, and just plain simple human standards improving all the time. Thank you, Chair. Chair, to conclude, the resources that you have, the grant, your Peter Boucher, can really serve the people that populate these municipalities better. And in some instances, you be able to release some of these resources to invest them in other municipal projects, including maintaining those infrastructure.
Thank you very much,
Honourable
Member Kovaza. Now,
call upon Honourable Member Shopping Tony. Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity, and thank you, Banka, for your input. You know, I struggle to memorize the word Salga because I have come to the conclusion that Salga is an invisible master or invisible manager of local government. You know, if I think of you that way, it's easy for me to actually think of you. Because you are invisible. And I would like a situation where you are very invisible. You are very visible. But for a change, you know, you impressed me today when you said your leaders are not here because they are very busy making sure that the municipalities will be working better. You know, that is a very optimistic statement. And I think we need that in this country, especially in the present economic environment. We need optimism. Because there's a lot of negativity around, you know, a lot of depressing news every day. But you actually made my day. So I would like you to continue giving hope to rural women like myself by making sure that you strengthen your NPEX. You come up with programs to strengthen your NPEX. Make sure that every municipality has got internal audit and risk management structures. Don't believe in what you are told. Check that they are there and functional. Make sure that municipalities have got audit committees. Because it does not matter how how much funding you can get in a structure, as long as the weak financial management, all the programs and plans that municipalities can sit down and draw, it's just a waste of time, because without resources, it's not possible to realize your program. So I would be very happy if you could sort of make time to make sure that every municipality has got those structures in place and put them down. Next time when we invite you, I would like to see that. All the municipalities have got those structures. You see, I said in appropriation, and my job is to allocate resources and to follow up on the usage of those resources, because they are scarce and times are very bad. So I'm really pleased with you that next time when you come, show us that those things are in place. It is good time because you're starting your municipality sort of. The other thing that I would like to you to look at is try and improve your cooperative activity with provinces. Because you see, I also had the opportunity of sitting in the standing committee on the Auditor General in the fourth parliament. The impression I got is that the national minister is and the AG try very much to assist local municipalities. But I'm not convinced sitting here that MEC of provinces really think it is their responsibility to assist local municipalities. But we know for a fact that there is a section in the Municipal Finance Management Act that actually says all appropriates have got the responsibility to assist a local government. It does not matter how much we can wish or criticize them. We know that down there, the skills are scarce. So I would like you to be actually held on assisting them, but working together with the NECs, because I don't think the NECs really take that responsibility of assisting municipalities very seriously. I can actually remember reading about the minister getting involved in the municipalities. I have also read about the Auditor General roadshows on municipalities. But the NEC, we must impress upon the NEC to do their bit. The other thing that I would like you to compile for us or get hold of is the list of government departments that are not willing to pay municipalities, because I would like to have some coffee with those departments. They must tell us what are they aiming at, because really, there is a section in the Constitution, Chapter 3, that says that all spheres of government shall conduct their business in a manner that does not divide the Republic of South Africa. My understanding is that anybody who is working for government in whatever department should have at the back of his mind the willingness to assist local government, the wish to see that every local government is functional, because it is at the coalface of deliverance. you know, our people on the ground, when they do text me, they don't see a parliament appropriating what, they only see government. And we are all government, and we should assist one another in that field. So I am trying to say, next time, please bring us that decision. But lastly, why I need to a structure that works in secret is because, you know, as a, in my situation as a rural woman, I wouldn't be able to talk about South. I don't know you. There are community radios. Give yourself time to talk on those radios so that rural women like myself understand that you are there, and also tell us what is it that municipalities must do for us so that we can also help monitor the delivery of our rights. So I think there are those things to be done by farmers. But don't waste your money doing it in big, expensive newspapers. I can't read English. I can only listen to Shangan radio. Go and talk there so that you take on board every South African. By so doing, you see that it will be easy for you to execute their duty, because ordinary people will be able to phone you and say, this municipality is not doing what and what. For now, you are not known. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I could safely say I see that Valga tried to trade carefully, not to play a blame game, but also not to forget to bring the begging man. In the outline, the presentation, but they kept trying to do. But I think my colleagues do cover me in most of the areas that I wanted to cover. But one area, a question that we've been posing on the municipal money portal. The last element of it is who will be feeding this portal. I'm looking at the capacity of municipalities. Municipalities in Impende, Kandla, and Malamule, those would they have a capacity to feed their figures, or will solely rely on what treasury is putting on that portal. I think it's important that I clarify that point, so that the value for this municipal money portal becomes great. The second area, Chair, one would have, when they mentioned the costing of basic services, hopefully it does give an indication of the financial burden that municipalities carry on the individual, because one would have wanted to hear their comment in terms of this adjustment and the state of affairs in relation to the indigent of our country, because they are the bulk of the people that would be impacted by the economic downturn that we are facing, and the austerity measures, or even reductions in the grant, as we say, that is confined in 5%. So one would like to hear them say. We came out of in audit 2014 chair recently. Last year we concluded that program, that campaign, and we introduced back to basics. And back to basics chair was to do an intervention in the main to make sure that we don't stay with potholes or street lights or dilapidated infrastructure and things like that for long or too long. And I think adjustments were made in grants to allow that thing should happen. But the concern now on where they talk about, I think it's around slide 12, they talk about grants, where they say that refining the rules for how grant funds are used for refurbishment. I think if they could clarify what do they mean and what impact would that have in the program of fact basics, because the idea for that program is indeed to deal with the maintenance issues on the infrastructure, on the dilapidating infrastructure as such. Then also on this very worrying comment or point that they are making, Chair, and I think we need to really take it to that. I mean, you say to an appropriations committee that your concern on the state of readiness of municipalities to implement M score is quite serious, Chair, because then it talks to how you will handle then the public funds. It's quite it's a very serious point. So, and they say that they are engaging the treasury to move the deadline, so the start date within July. I think we rather hear as the appropriation committee we're missing a slide, Chair, in my assessment, that would have been talking to the efficiency, one that they are creating or working on in a number of aspects of financial management and implementation of grant money. I don't think it's there. I might not have it, but we would have rather had quite an extensive engagement on the efficiency, because that talks to, I mean, even what is being said on the intergovernmental debt. You know, we still have 55,000 properties that are not resolved. How much money that is qualified? How much would get out of that? And that should have heard what work is being done in trying to resolve that, because if you still have 2/3 of government intergovernmental debt not resolved and promising that it will be resolved before end of December, and you still have 55,000 properties that are not resolved, it doesn't have. So I think it doesn't have. So then I think let me stop here. These are the main ones that were covered that I needed to cover. Thanks.
Second point.
Just right on what Honorable Mandel was saying. One issue is the question of dealing with dilapidated infrastructure, including, you know, property. The other inspectors of property and inspectors of infrastructure, so that if they are there, we should be able to tell whether a property is in a state of occupiability, whether for business or for simply lodging residents.
equally. Inspectors should tell us at what stage do we address the issue of maintaining of infrastructure. And if they are not there, could SALGA, COPTA, and municipalities generally consider the possibility of employing such inspectors?
This presentation was very impressive, which has triggered so many issues that SALGA has to respond to. But then the very, very last one, you must assist us, honorable members, will then be honorable member Gayla, so that we can give them an opportunity to respond to all the issues. There are many, so we must give them enough time to respond to all of them. Thank you very much. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, sir. One last more. On page 13, the training of councils to do their oversight, that is the one that I'd like to talk to, sir. Some of these trainings that are done by your people. And the pregnant question that I have is that government is losing money for state councils who don't do their work because of the type of training they give to do oversight. And I ask this question for the minister. Give me a reply. For instance, we've got two types of councils, the one council and a peer council. In some of these cases, care council does nothing. The local council follows laws that have been made in certain councils. And that waste of taxpayers' money, and one says you to fix your trainer, especially in the city where I come from, they were asked this question. Well, they were not allowed to do their work, ordinary work of satisfying helping. Bank accounts and so to assist the community. So it is very important because we cannot allow taxpayers' money to be wasted. We cannot have ATM counselors. So we need to address the second one is your SPM. If you want still people to run your SPM, because one of the government policies is to upgrade the SMM. And if you look at the whole lot of small municipalities, you'll see only one company doing the work of council for many years. So, and you got skilled people, why are you helping them to get skilled people in the SMM? Because it's very important. Because a lot of the work has been created through SMM. Those are the two chances. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We now hand over to SALGA to respond.
Thanks very much. These are quite interesting questions, and we will try as much as possible to respond to all of them. I'm going to allow as well to have your Indian colleagues from Trinidad to chip in once I've gone through the George Jungle issue. Some of the questions have been asked a couple of times. I remember. So I'll try as much as possible to respond one comprehensively. For first, there's a question that's been asked about 5,000 properties which have been unresolved. These are government properties, such as schools, clinics in some instances, and other facilities. Where a municipality would say, in this village at Nsonto, we have a school. It's a government school. So we will charge rates and amount of service. And how the clerk would say, we don't have this school in our asset register. The court means, therefore, by unresolved, and we've quantified those instances to that 5,000. So it's an issue that requires how the clerk to either update its asset register and therefore be able to resolve those issues between themselves and the municipality concerned. It is difficult to say how much is owed for this property, because the complication is when, one, the period of the existence of the structure is undisputed, firstly. Secondly, the rates and surcharges that are being levied are compounded by interest. There's been a legal argument that some of this interest in this case has prescribed. So on what basis they are not being levied. And as local government would say, that argument must cut across the board, because it can equally apply to the debt that ESCOM is raising against municipalities and the water board. I don't want to cover that as an example, but let me go back to the issues as they were raised. Not all municipalities have capable treasury units. Sometimes, again, to demonstrate the point, a municipality would buy a unit of electricity from their home for 1 cent to demonstrate, and in turn sell it to its consumer for 70 cents. Because maybe it's a small municipality, because maybe it doesn't have the cash to put together, you know, tariffs that are market related, and all those other complications. And we've been intervening in those instances to say, municipalities, you are under budgeting. You are shooting yourself in the foot. You will always have budgets that are not cash funded to support it. So therefore, SALCA will avail instruments that enables you to properly benchmark your tariffs. We will provide interventions that guide and assist you in doing your budgeting. We've done that in a number of municipalities, and it's a service that we are in a free of charge as an organization. It's part of our value add to our members. So it is also a worrying concern, and it is an issue that we have been consistently picking up and discussing between ourselves and Treasury, because you could pick it up during the submission of the Section 71 report that there's going to be a problem here. When, again, when we do some budget review in some municipalities or benchmarking exercise, these are some of the questions that we pose to those municipalities. Is your budget cash supported? What are your projections? Are your creditors over or understated? And all of that. We have been, on the related matter, been looking for other instruments for revenue generation. And the issue of traffic fines is one such an item. I was talking to the chief whip of Nelson Mandela Municipality yesterday and talking exactly about the traffic fine issue. And he said to me, yes, we have all these meters on our road, but they have not been maintained. There's no system to follow up and manage them. And the CFO of Mozaikin says, our longest street, right at the center of the town, is not metered at all. So it's a revenue loss opportunity. Maybe SALCA can assist us in putting together a study to say, how do we better manage the thing? How do we put these meters? What are the cost benefits and all of that? So we're looking at those instruments as part of, you know, trying to support and assist, you know, our municipalities. The amount that is to be paid by public works, again, let me give the committee some background. We raised this matter with Treasury. It went up all the way to the cabinet. Cabinet issued a letter that went to all premiers, that went to all, you know, provincial administrations. It said, all that is owed to municipalities by government must be paid by October 2015. Not December 2015. By October 2015. But then, in the exercise that we were doing with Public Works, sometimes they will say, a municipality will say, you owe us 20 rand, and Public Works will say, give us documents. Because of 200 bucks at municipal level, they will not have the supporting documents, and it will delay the arrangement. And that's been one complication, you know, on the matter. But the amount that has been verified and agreed upon, Public Works said, we've paid already 1.2 billion, and we've got a breakdown of who have they paid out of that and how much, and who do they still owe. Firstly, for the budget issue, that we don't have it meeting. But they made an undertaking, for that date of 31% is an undertaking made by Public Works nationally, that we will pay by it. Whether they will meet it is something else, but that's the undertaking that they've given the sector. The, again, cost containment measures. We said that we fully support them. We even issued out a circular to our municipalities from the last budget forum. But members must remember that these are guidelines. And as such, a municipality may choose to ignore them. And our call and appeal for our members was, when you are adopting your budget, also adopt this guideline. Because all guidelines that come from Treasury, a municipality must have a council meeting and adopt the format for them to apply. Without that council meeting, they don't apply. Fortunately, a large percentage of municipalities have tabled the cost containment measures alongside their budget. The issue is whether they are adhering to the letter and the word of those measures. And we do know that there are a couple of instances where there seems to be a deviation. And we are worried about that. The credit control system, I can safely say almost all municipalities have got those credit control measures upon it. The issue is with the execution. Again, you talk to a municipality, they say we send people to collect, they were turned away, they were chased, there were all sorts of issues. You get communities making arguments that you say I must pay, but you're not picking up the fuel. And the municipality says we don't have money to even pick up the fuel if you're not paying. So it becomes a chicken and egg. There was an interesting case that was presented to me where a municipality said, we go out and cut off, especially these business, you know, premises. But we soon realize that they've been illegally connected. And the question was, what then do you do? Shouldn't you be negotiating with business? Well, because again, we were saying, if then we apply stricter measures, we have talent and we're told that we're taking away business, and therefore we'll end up losing. And we say, it can't be an either or. Shouldn't you be negotiating with business that will put prepaid meters and therefore will give you these incentives for you to pay and so on? But there must be some concrete measure. Our view is that because we did some research on this, and I can say to 10 members that we are looking at piloting some of the interventions that we want to bring about in all provinces, where we examine in detail what is the problem with revenue collection. Is it just a system issue, or is it a whole value chain issue? How your front office staff deal with clients, whether municipalities are sending out correct deals, correct time to a correct client, you know, what are the services being brought in, and so on. So we looked at that measure, and I think the document is available, you know, to members, you know, where we discuss, you know, such business detail, and that's the interventions that we want to take to municipalities. The other example around this is that you have a household with an old grandma who is indigent, so therefore is not paying or, you know, is getting a reduced rate, you know. But in that very same household, she's got five kids who are all working, and therefore, right on her, by have been indigent and therefore the household is not being paid for. And what I think is quite the government don't have that kind of a system to go beyond the personal credit tax. Some indigent, you know, register are just not being, you know, updated. Someone who was indigent in 2000 forever remains in that register, even if the circumstances have changed. You know, maybe the person has soon found a job or something else. But again, some municipalities don't have mechanisms to the thing, to get through. There are people who are indigent, municipalities, but have another house in another municipality. They are not indigent. Municipal systems don't talk to one another. And as one of the measures to address this, we've been talking for us to the revenue services. That is there a mechanism where municipalities can access their GDP? Because someone who's not paying a municipality certainly would not be able to pay a Woolworths or a Dove account, certainly wouldn't be able to buy a car, certainly is not getting a salary and all those things. But we find that people do pay for all these other things except for their municipal account. But because municipalities don't have access to the database, there is a problem at that level. The manual website, it's a new initiative. It was announced by the minister when he presented the medium term statement. So it's a week, 2 weeks old system. There's no way as yet to check, you know, how it's used and so on. But it doesn't require any website, I mean any password, everyone can access it. And it is meant specifically for people out there, not only those who got, you know, the thing, access to computers. We are saying as well that there might be people who don't have access to Wi-Fi or to computer. There must be a good facility in the municipalities where someone can go and access, you know, this kind of information. Especially if people are going to engage with municipalities in an informed, you know, manner. So our colleagues from Treasury can talk more about it, but we are saying we think it's a good initiative, we support it, and we'll assist in making sure that it's marketed and that all municipalities encourage people to access the system. One example that, again, I would want members to note, maybe for another discussion some other day, it's a difficult situation where in a township or village, there are two electricity regulators. You have a section beside that is serviced by a farm across the street, it's serviced by a municipality. Now, usually you can't cut out water as a municipality. And when people do not pay for rates and services, you cut electricity. Now, you go to the ESCOM site, ESCOM provides electricity and people don't pay for it. You say to ESCOM, cut them off. ESCOM says, no, but they paid for my electricity. I have no legal basis to cut them because they have not paid your order. And therefore, this policy is hentai that they can implement their credit policy, you know, in those sections of the town that are served by ESCOM. There's an MPEC structure established in all provinces. The latest report I saw yesterday says in all provinces, in all municipalities, there's 100 out of 100% of MPEC structure established. Are they effective? That's something else. And sometimes we feel that these MPEC structures established with all the good intentions have limitations because one, it's either junior people who serve in them, or two, they are under-resourced, or three, there are reports that have been combined that need to be taken to council. And at a caucus level, there's an intervention made that you know this report can go forward. And I'm compromising the independence of the MPEC and so on. These are some of the issues that we're taking up, you know, in the training that we're providing to say this is what we expect from an effective MPEC. These are the issues that must guide effectiveness and so on, and this is how it should be independent from other considerations. You equally find in municipalities that when you say municipalities give us an indication, do we have internal audit functions? They say yes. When you give up, you find that it's only one person. That person is junior. He or she doesn't have all the tools to effectively run an internal audit, you know, function. So those are some of the issues that we are looking at. And the people that we've been deploying to train, you know, and in that municipality, induction is not done just by SALGA. It's done by SALGA in partnership with the National School of Government, with the Office of the Auditor General, with National Treasury, and the local government sector. The bulk of the funding for the training comes from the sector, and SALGA has contributed its part as well. So is Treasury and some provinces. Firstly. Secondly, before we deploy trainers for status, there is a training trainer session. And it is only those who have been through that process and qualified would then be assigned to go and train in quality. Because some of the training that we're doing is accredited. So therefore, the sector will insist on specific standards. Of course, you know, the quality may differ from facilitator to facilitator. But we're saying this is not the only arrangement. One, counselors are inducted by their own municipality. Two, they are inducted by SALGA. Three, there's a provision for portfolio training. Fourthly, there's training that talks to future leadership issues, but also their personal finances and lifestyle. So we pick that up. That is an important, you know, area as well to intervene in. So that's how the training unfolds. And we've done with all municipalities and almost all councils have been inducted already. The pressure now that we're sitting with municipalities are saying to us, looking at our deal, that the reports from the Attorney General are coming. We understand that you'll do all the portfolio training, but expedite SALGA train our MPA committees because they need to induct this report immediately. And that's what we're looking at. And I think we have a meeting tomorrow to look at that agent request, among other things, so that we're responsive to the issues that our members are dealing with and so on. Of course, some municipalities tend to overspend, and the AG has been picking up issues around the irregular expenditure, you know, unauthorized and so on, and it's been put out there. And the SALGA has been forthright in saying there should be consequences for transgression. There's an accountability and a consequence management framework that we've all agreed to, you know, with Treasury and everyone in the sector. There's nothing that stops a municipality from charging a CFO or a municipal manager who's been reckless in spending municipal resources. As SALGA, we won't defend or protect, you know, that person. But members must remember that SALGA is only an association. We don't have authority to compel a municipality to take a particular action. Municipalities must still follow their own due process of taking and processing issues through council for them to be given effect. The other question related to the financial health of municipalities. Again, this is an issue that's been flagged by the Auditor General. It's an issue that the Treasury, you know, has discussed with us. It's a letter that comes out from time to time from the Section 71 Quarterly Report. And it's a matter that is of serious concern to us because it talks about the viability of our local government system. If municipalities are under-collecting, especially small municipalities, if they are under-spending on grants, if they are paid, their liabilities exceed their assets, then there's still a problem. How do we turn that around? One of our interventions has been through the municipal water support, you know, program, which has got a component dealing with financial management and institutional capability, where we say we don't want an excellent CFO who, when he leaves or she leaves, the institution collapses. We need to build viable institutions. Being able to perform in a municipality is not only just about one person, but it must cascade through the organization. Your revenue clerk must know exactly the reconciliations that he or she has to make. You know, throughout the value chain in the organization, everyone must be capable and must be you know, knowledgeable about the things, the performance level that I expected. And that with proper guidance and better budgeting, maybe municipalities will deal with those things. Of course, they will take time. We've been processed to a number of municipalities, I think it was in the West Bank, where councillors said, we want to just understand finances. We want to understand how do we analyze financial statements. FALCA, come deal with this for us. Here in the Western Cape, I think we've been running finance master classes. For councillors, I think we're having another one. Monday in Tuesday again for councillors in the province, and we had one at the beginning of the year, just to equip councillors about how to engage with finances, and when they approve a budget in council, what are the issues, what are the questions to ask, and what is it to look for in terms of the financial ratio, and so on. So we provide that, you know, sort of training on a need basis for whenever requested, but also there are other programs that we run in all provinces. For example, in all provinces we've been doing a program on asset management, we've been doing a program on record management. And in all these provinces, we always make the point that we bring in the Department of Local Government, the Provincial Treasurer, the Office of the Premier, the Office of the Auditor General, when we do this, you know, training. Interestingly, last time, we raised a problem in the conference, that sometimes we go to a province, Treasury and the Provincial Department of Local Government are not training from the same team pool. Even nationally, the coordination sometimes is difficult. And in the last, not the last, the last part one budget forum, the two ministers agreed to get into an MOU between National Treasury and National Costa. And besides that, MOU must cascade to provinces. Because you find instances where FALCA has to come between the two, you know, departments, try to pull them together. And we always insist that whenever we have our working group meetings in provinces, the two departments must be part of those and assist us in monitoring what's happening in municipalities, but also leverage the instruments given to them by legislation to intervene when necessary. Because remember, all that we're doing as the association doesn't seek to replace, you know, Section 154 support to be provided by Treasury and Costa. It doesn't seek to remove Section 139 interventions by these two departments. The MCOA readiness, for example, in Northwest, I know 23 municipalities are not ready for MCOA implementation, comes up to life. In the Western Cape, 9 municipalities are not ready for MCOA, you know, implementation. It goes on from province to province. And we are not saying to Treasury, our view is that it shouldn't be postponed, but we're saying the municipalities that were part of the pilot, they must go ahead. The municipalities that are ready, they must go ahead. Then those that are not ready. So we're proposing rather a staggered or a phased-in, you know, implementation arrangement for MCOA. The issue is not only about just training. And by the way, we're having training on the 24th year, the Western Cape, but also we're moving to all other provinces to just expose and equip councillors and some administrators on MCOA and FALCA independently without resources, you know, on that initiative. But also it's about systems. To implement MCOA, you need to have systems. And Treasury only approved the tender. There's a tender for systems vendors and so on, you know, to come in and assist municipalities. Then that tender was only approved, you know, just recently, I think in August, if not July. So there are all those challenges, you know, that face these municipalities, and we worry about that. But as I was saying, it's something that we're taking up with Treasury and between. The elections, the requirements in most municipalities is that the contracts of the municipal managers are for 5 years. But these contracts are linked usually to the term of office of the council. There's a provision that says at least the contract must go on for the next 3 months after a new council has been elected. After that, it can be extended for 6 months, but after that, it has to be advertised. Whether the same municipal manager is reappointed depends on the interview or recruitment process, but there's nothing stopping that. So you find, you know, municipalities where the municipal manager has been in office for 10, 15 years. We've got a couple of those instances. But you might have seen in newspapers that most of the positions are being advertised. We can't say who's going to get them. you know, but it does create that uncertainty, you know, in some institutions. That's why we are emphasizing that on institutional viability than over dependence and reliance on just one, you know, person. On the conditional grant, it's been a perennial issue that the municipalities are failing to plan or don't have planning capacity. That's why MISA was established to assist and intervene where it is necessary. But also that's why some, you know, districts have centralized, you know, this function of planning, you know, as a one-stop kind of a service to support all the municipalities and other things. But as SALGAP, because we are worried again about the spending pattern, especially on USDG, and this is a matter that we've been discussing with the thing with Treasure, we have met for instance the Office of the Auditor General, we've met Treasurer with the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer, we've met the Development Bank, you know, who else have we met? But all with one question on the agenda, to say what innovative system and what capacity arrangement or what alternative model can we put in place to support especially the metro and rural cities to spend on USDG. So what gives in the process of find solutions to advise municipalities to guide them, or if there is another mechanism of working around this so that there's better spending patterns, you know, we will be interested to get those. But that's what we're doing, that's what, you know, we've been concerned about, and we've made this better with our colleagues in Treasury and here in Parliament before. On the budget forum, yes, I would say we didn't get lessons. Previously, we had a situation where we will go to the budget forum with 10 items, maybe poorly researched, and we will get to the budget forum at 2. And on the agenda, you have 10 federal items and one SALGA item, and at 3 or 4, the meeting is over. We didn't engage in any meaningful manner and so on. But a year or so ago, we went to the meeting and said, no, this has got to change. We proposed that there should be a dedicated local government day where we would apply to all the other things and just in detail discuss exhaustively matters of policy and finance that relate to local government. And that's been the practice since then. But instead of just one budget day or budget forum, we have two. One dedicated to local government, and we've agreed with Kofi and Treasurer that that should be the practice going forward. You know, we continue, you know, with those arrangements so that we better listen to one another. But also, in addition to that, we've got technical platforms where even before the budget forum, we sit with Treasurer, the FFC, and Kofi and go through all the issues in detail so that by the time we receive our principles, the items are welcome back and considered, whether we agree or disagree or not. The point about SALGA in the Free State and in all provinces, you know, contextualizing and localizing their input on the policy statement is well taken. Maybe it could be that the handicap is that provinces at times ask for guidance from national, and instead of tailor-making that to their circumstance, they would just, you know, present that without, you know, having added value. But we will guide our colleagues accordingly. I remember there was a visit by, I'm not sure whether it was this committee, to the state, to have it in particular, to look at their applicable share issue, and they would participate, you know, in that, you know, discussion. And there was to be a follow-up session in Bloemfontein to look at, you know, budget trends and the resource trends in that district. And I know one of the key variables that affected, you know, its equitable share was the population trend, outward migration from that. And that's one variable that is considered, you know, in the allocation of the equitable share. The role of municipalities in economic, you know, development and how they facilitate, you know, support to small business. It can take many forms, members. For example, if investors come to your municipality, submit an investment proposal, want to build a mall or want to do this and that, you know, economic factor, and you don't have a capacitated owning unit, then it takes forever to just get that piece of land if you own for business. You have a problem. If you don't have a planning unit that look at the plan submitted, certify yourself of all the license required, be it from transport, be it from water perspective, be it from electric perspective, then we have a problem. Because business investors don't have time to wait. They can't wait for 3 years. Why you are looking at all those things. In some other instances, municipalities come up the limits in field. You know, they get a business proposal, but the land identified for that particular project, besides zoning issues, it's not serviced. And the municipality can't put together a measure or proposal to say this now will provide our services so that business, you know, development can happen. Those are some of the problems. But also, we've been saying to municipalities, the issue that business must be paid within 30 days must be properly understood. The instruction of the private service pays within 30 days. It doesn't say pay on the 30th day. If there's an invoice submitted, you can process it, verify it, and it can be paid within 2 days. Why not pay in 2 days? Because you end up undermining, especially FMMEs, when you don't pay. And this is what usually happens. You know, that the service will be rendered, but municipalities will take forever to pay. And by that time, that business could have gone under or have been all sorts of debt. For the figures in the Treasury portal, well, some of them come from the Section 71 report, but yes, there could be an element of unreliability. But there's nothing that stops you from following those figures that says they must not update and look at whether the figures in that sitting in that portal are liable and correct. But we'll tend to know about it.
With this money that we have,
We will use this person to put up roads in this area. We'll use this person to put up, you know, bus services in this area. And then the counter argument is that, no, this money is not for houses, so you can't use it for other things. And we say that's problematic to us. That's what you would do with a Schedule 5 grant, not a Schedule 4 grant. So long as, because human settlement, it's a big concept. You can't put up houses there, there's no roads, there's no water, there's nothing. So we're saying, let's be very clear about the terms that are in the division of revenue, and let us honor what is in the division of revenue as of him, and not change it mid-term. And say, well, the money must go to the parties. No, they must be diversion, must go to provinces, and must be provinces who account for that money when it is a grant that's meant for the fund. That is our, you know, our condition on the matter.
National Treasury would like to have something to say, but shall we get a what? follow-up questions so that we can allow National Treasury to close, you know, the input, their inputs, and then make into a statement. None. Thank you very much. National Treasury?
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. I know I'm not on the agenda today. I think Cynthia has very comprehensively given an input, so I'm just going to provide a top-up on a few issues. Just to clarify on this issue with the USDG and the Schedule 4 versus Schedule 5, the issue is not that the USDG has been changed from a Schedule 4 to a Schedule 5, and the MCDPS also does not propose that that change is made in next year's Division of Revenue Bill. The issue is that Salga are saying that in the way that the transferring officer of that grant is managing the grant, that they feel like some of the actions that are being taken are the kind of actions you would take if it was a Schedule 5 grant. It was a specific purpose grant rather than a supplementary grant. From our perspective, it's very important that it is a supplementary grant, a Schedule 4 grant, because as Simpiwe says, it's meant to fund an integrated set of human settlements, infrastructure, water, sanitation, etc. It is also meant to remember that the Urban Settlement Development Grant only goes to the metropolitan municipalities. And these are municipalities with large balance sheets that can engage in borrowing, that need to be developing mixed use and mixed income development. So they shouldn't be developing a kind of a residential area providing infrastructure only for the poor. And they should be developing infrastructure that serves poor households, that serves non-poor households, and that serves businesses as well in the same area so that people can work near where they live so that we don't perpetuate this kind of apartheid spatial geography. That's why it's a supplementary grant, so that the municipality can use the grant to supplement the money that it raises itself, right? Johannesburg has a 10 billion rand capital budget. The national transfers to Johannesburg are only about 3 or 4 billion rand. So there's much more money that comes in from the city's own revenue, and it needs to be used in that kind of consolidated and integrated way to produce the kind of spatial development outcomes that we're looking at. And there are specific grant management issues around that grant that we as the presentation noted, we are in discussions with Salga about. I would also just note here that one of the slides in the Salga presentation also noted that there is in fact a proposal to move some of the money from the Integrated National Electrification Program grant next year into the INEP grant. So electricity connections are currently funded separately in Metro from the rest of services which are funded in the USDG. And one of the proposals that is still under discussion, government isn't formally proposing it in the MCDPS, we just say this is under discussion, is actually to move some of that money for electrification so that electrification can be planned and delivered and funded in the same way that the other services targeted at those same households are funded. On the property rate payments, I think Cynthia was covered it very comprehensively. Just to say that when Honourable McLaughlin was asking the question, I think he was getting to the nub of the matter, which is that although there is a historic debt that remains and that is under dispute, the bills that are being issued now are being paid now. So we don't have a growing historic debt. And that's a very good situation, and it's quite different from where we used to be. So I think that point sometimes gets missed in the conversation, and that is also quite different between the property rates and municipal services debts owed by government versus owed by private households, where some of the private household debt is still a growing problem. So so at least the government one is getting better. On the MSCOA, perhaps a further discussion is needed with the committee on this to brief the committee, but I think the committee does understand this is a very important reform from the Treasury side. A lot of the questions that you and us have about what is going on in the accounts of municipalities will be answered when we have MSCOA in place. So that's why from the Treasury side we really want to push to make sure that it is implemented next year, and we think that the system needs to do whatever it takes to make that a reality. On the grant reductions in the Free State municipalities that were raised, I think that's the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill issue, so it's not technically under the ambit of today's MCVPS discussion. I will just say it's only that there is a 20 million addition to the Free State for drought relief through the indirect grant, and then there is a reduction on some of the bucket eradication program grant allocations in the Free State. There are additions to other municipalities in the Free State. The total bucket eradication program grant is being increased. It's just that some of the very large funded projects in the Free State are being reduced in order to fund projects elsewhere in the country, but I think we can discuss that perhaps further with the Free State. I fully support what the colleagues from SALGA say about the need for municipalities to adopt the cost containment guidelines through council resolutions, and I think that is quite an easy thing to hold municipalities to account for whether they're doing that. And then lastly, Chair, if I can just say that the Municipal Money website is one we're very excited about. It has been formatted so that it's easy to follow on your phone. You can type in municipalmoney.gov.za and find it right now. You can even just press a button on it and it will take you straight to the audited financial statements for the municipality that you are in at the moment. It uses the GPS on your phone. So when you're on your oversight visits, you can click and see the financial statements right there. At the moment, it's just presenting the audited financial statements because that is the most reliable data. There are also YouTube videos that explain things. There are links to other resources around how municipal finances work. It's a very comprehensive, obviously very enlightening resource that I hope that you will use, that I hope that communities will use as well. And over time, as the data reliability improves, and as hopefully there's more use and demand for it, we hope to expand it with further data on more up-to-date reports of information as well. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you. For the additional information, I can see honourable members are so satisfied, which then takes us to the next item on the agenda. I really must thank you for the adequate responses. Normally, you do get a follow-up question, but this time you responded in such a manner that, as you can see, you almost like satiated with information. So, thank you very much. I don't know if you would like to make a closing statement, and then I will then, make my closing statement. Closing statement from SALGA, or you don't have any?
Chair, thanks very much. We are willing to engage with members, and if there's any of our documents or information that's required, we are willing to make it available, in public information. And should members at some point wish to visit us and engage directly with SALGA units, we can host such an arrangement. And anytime, feel free to invite us, even when visiting a particular municipality, to find out what it is that we are doing to support that municipality. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Honorable members, I really would like to thank all of you for coming. And not only that, but for actively participating in the discussions, which is what we need so that we're able to arrive at recommendations that will assist in ensuring quality service delivery to our people out there, and I would say also quality spending by the municipality, so that we see a balance between performance by the municipalities and compliance with your municipal management performance and PFMA, MSMA. Thank you very much. Indeed, the committee would like to thank SALGA for its submission for the 2016/17 Division of Revenue Amendment Bill and MTEF as part of our constitutional requirement. Thank you very much. Honourable members, we must always remember that municipalities are at the forefront of basic service delivery. Simply put, they are at a service delivery point.
most important municipalities are closer to the people. So if we don't do our utmost best to support, strengthen and improve municipal programs to ensure better expenditure and revenue collection, our people on the ground will not have access to clean, drinkable water, electricity, refuse collection, and better sanitation programs to restore their dignity. It is therefore important that our municipal finances are sustainable and viable, and are also correctly used. We have noted challenges outlined by SAUGA. These include debt collection and the reduction on the net wealth of household. We also note the reduction on some conditional grants, as SAUGA indicated, and some of these grants are already inadequate to cater for planning and other processes that take place before project implementation. We urge SAUGA to assist our municipalities to improve their financial management, basic service delivery, and revenue collection mechanisms, so that we don't compromise the quality of services delivered to South Africans. We are of the view that serious induction and continuous training of the newly elected municipal councillors will also assist in ensuring improved municipal oversight to ensure reliable services and quality spending. In the light of the ongoing slow economic growth, we really need to work together as stakeholders to turn the situation of municipalities around. It is crucial that we are honest in saying that some of the challenges do not require more funding, but they require a change of mindset and a culture of improvement around procurement, professional ethics, retention of people with requisite skills and experience. We can't simply throw money into every single problem without a concrete turnaround strategy. Most importantly, we also need to ensure full compliance with the Municipal Finance Management Act of 2003. This includes payment of contractors within 30 days. I agree with you, within 30 days. Does that necessarily mean you've got to wait for 30 days and then you pay? Which means you can even pay the same day when they finish and you pay them. Now 30 days is almost like we have less than our time. But unfortunately, also this one is violated. So I repeat, this includes payment of contractors within 30 days with a view to ignite local economic growth. I agree with SAUGA that invoices should be paid within 30 days and not on the 30th day after submission, not unless there is dispute over the invoice. But also if invoices are not submitted, I think we can be innovative enough to also follow the invoice, go where you can find this invoice so that you can pay, because it's not about the municipality, it's not about the person who must transfer the money, but it is about the service provider who at the end would also contribute towards the tax and also the economy, the inclusive economic growth of the municipality and subsequently the country. We also want to emphasize the importance of infrastructure rollout programs as a cornerstone for job creation and local economic growth, so that we are able to create a stable economic environment to boost the municipal revenue streams. On that note, honorable members, we hope that SAUGA National Conference, that the SAUGA National Conference to be held this year will really deal with some of the systemic challenges faced by our local government to try and give meaning to the better management of municipal finances, strengthen accountability, strengthen public participation through the IDP process to ensure that the needs of our people are taken into account. The committee will consider the input by SAGA and it will be incorporated into the report of the committee, which will later be submitted to the House for adoption. Thank you very much for your participation. The meeting stands adjourned.